Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts, chapter 2. We'll read verses 42 through 47 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Lord, thank you for an obedient church. Lord, our people are tired. They've worked today. They've invited folks all week long, knocked on doors. We've run buses, taught Sunday school classes. We've done primary churches and junior churches. And Lord, so many things. And yet last week, what a great harvest you gave us. Well over 1,600 people saved in just a few hours. Lord, what an obedient people. Hundreds and hundreds of your people out giving the gospel, Lord, the way you taught us to in the scriptures. Now, Father, please be with our preacher tonight. As we look back, may we be challenged because the harvest truly is plenteous and the laborers are few. Lord, we just barely scratched a dent in it last week. There's still people dying and going to hell. Father, please use our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This evening, we're going to take some time, and we're going to talk about, and I'm going to teach and preach, and we're going to thank God for 1,632 people that were born again as a result of last Saturday's soul winning efforts in our nation's capital. Acts chapter 2, verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Here we see the Acts chapter 2, and in Acts chapter 2, it reminds us of that historical event and day called the Pentecost. Men gathered from every nation under the sun to the city of Jerusalem. This was God's plan. He wanted to get these men saved, and then he was going to send them back to their countries to spread the gospel around the world. A miracle that would be spoken of in the Bible and throughout history was about to take place. That New Testament church called the New Testament Church of Jerusalem, they planned, they prayed, they fasted, and they organized. And we know that it did go down in history. On the Saturday morning of last week, I took a few moments to describe to all the soul winners that went to Washington, D.C., the atmosphere or attitude of the New Testament Church of Jerusalem. Let me reiterate that to you this evening. This church, this New Testament Church of Jerusalem, church just like ours, don't get the idea. The people in the Bible were people just like you and me. The moms in the Bible were moms just like the moms that sit here tonight. And the dads in the Bible were dads just like the ones that sit here tonight. These were people that loved the Lord, had gotten saved. They went to church just like you and I. But here's the atmosphere that was present prior and during this revival in the New Testament Church in Jerusalem. First of all, it was a Holy Spirit-filled group. See, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. We, as Christians, have living within us the Holy Spirit of God. And they had given themselves over to the Spirit of God. That's why they had a day of Pentecost. Secondly, there was a powerful unity in that church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says that the group of people, they were in one accord. Then it says in Acts 2:44, they had all things common. Then in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it said that they had singleness of heart, one accord, all things common, singleness of heart. One of the most damaging things when somebody sows discord among the brethren, it hinders people being saved. It hinders people being saved. That's why it's such a big deal. That's why it's so destructive and so dangerous. Well, we see here these people were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We see that there was a powerful, unique unity among the people. Thirdly, they followed Peter. God had appointed Peter as the leader, and they humbly followed him as their God-appointed leader. The Bible says in Acts 2:14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." So Peter stood up and said, "Now listen to me, and let me help us through this. Let me guide you through it." So this is the atmosphere, this is the attitude of the people in the New Testament church in Jerusalem during and prior to one of the greatest revivals historically recorded. So they were a Holy Spirit-filled group. They had powerful unity. They humbly followed their God-appointed leader. And then the Bible says that they practiced boldness. It says in Acts 4:13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." It takes boldness to see something great happen for God. And then we find out that they knew that this day and this occurrence, this miracle, it was all about Jesus. Acts chapter 2, verse 36, it says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." We see Jesus mentioned right there. Well, of course, Jesus is God. He's mentioned as God. He's mentioned as Jesus. He's mentioned as Lord. And he's mentioned as Christ. Four references to Jesus in one verse. I would guess they knew it was all about Jesus. That's what the day was all about. Well, they planned and got ready, and then the people started getting saved on the day of Pentecost. What was the result? In Acts 2:4, it says, "And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." What a miraculous day. 3,000 people saved in one day as a result of the New Testament Church of Jerusalem. Now, as you know, July 25, 2009, our church set a goal of seeing 1,000 people saved. We decided that we would go to our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., you remember I preached a sermon a couple Sunday nights ago about our being the salt of the earth, and how I taught you that Christians are the salt of the earth, and salt preserves, and Christians help preserve the blessing of God on a nation. We told the story of Abraham and Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, and how God said, "I'll spare that wicked city if I find the right percentage of saved people." What was God doing? God was promising if there was enough salt in Sodom and Gomorrah, it would preserve, it would stay his hand of judgment, it would preserve the city and keep it alive. So we believe that if we could go to our nation's capital, and we've seen enough people say, maybe God would look down and say, "I see the salt in Washington, D.C. I see the number of saved people in Washington, D.C. Well, thank God. We wanted to get 1,000 saved, but I told you, had we only seen one person saved, it would have been worth it all. It would have been worth all the money and all the time. Heaven is so wonderful and hell is so bad. One person being saved would be worth the entire day's effort. But miraculously, I don't know about you, but I was surprised and delighted at the end of the day to find out 1,632 people came to Christ in one afternoon as a result of the people here in the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, and might I say, also the result of a Holy Spirit-filled group, a powerful unity, people that knew how to follow the leader, boldness in their life, and folks that had their eyes on Jesus for the day, just like the New Testament occurrence of Pentecost, we experienced a modern-day miracle. God gave us a miracle. I was surprised, and I think some of you have seen it, our local newspaper here, the Martinsburg Journal, on Thursday, July 30, someone from Washington, D.C. had written into the journal. Let me read the article to you. It says in the heading, "From the Washington, D.C. area," and it reads like this, "I just want to thank the people of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church for spreading God's word as clearly as they did. They came to D.C. area, and my daughter was saved through the salvation plan. These are angels." I'll tell you what, God did send angels to the city. If you know the story, God sent angels to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and was trying to get people saved so God would not judge the city. That came from somebody in the Washington, D.C. area. Again, you want to look it up? It was in the Journal on Thursday, July 30. I want to take just a little bit of time, if I could, this evening. I want to give attention again, teach us some things, say some things, brag a little bit on some people in regard to this whole thought of what God did for us on July 25. First of all, let me say, tonight, we want to praise God for the miracle. Those of you that never say amen, try to make a holy grunt tonight. You ought to thank God for what we had a part of. Thank God. The Bible says in Acts 2:47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people. Here these people knew. They had their eyes on God. And when God began to work, somebody had the good sense to say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look what God has done. They spent some time praising God after the miracle. You've heard me say this before. When you beg God for something and you plead with God for something, when He gives it to you, don't forget who gave it to you and go back and give Him some time after you've received what you want. You say, why? You may want to go back and get something from Him again sometime. You see, if you go to God and beg for something, you take it, you take the money and run, then you forget about God. The next time you go in to ask Him for something, He may say, I remember you. You use me like a credit card. You come in here to get something from me, but you never come back to me spending time with me. You know, one of the reasons we have needs is because God wants to spend time with us. You know, you may find yourself not being as needy if you'd spend time with God when you didn't need something. Most people, God's got to create a tremendous need in your life to get any quality, deep time with you. Well, thank God we spent time with Him prior to Washington, D.C. I'm going to give the rest of the service tonight to the thought that God was good to us, and I think we ought to just look at it and say, look at what God has done. Look at what God's done. Now, at the end of the day, on July 25, we had our pizza a victory banquet over here, and we were all nervously pacing and wondering as the numbers were coming in, and then finally we were able to announce the number of people that were saved. But I thank God for what He has done. I thank God that we had, hey, and that's not all. You know, you stop and think about it. Over 10,000 gospel tracts spread all over that city, and we didn't win every single person to Christ that we witnessed to. We got the gospel out far more than 1,632 people. But tonight, we praise God for His miracle. Number two, let me tell you a little bit about the results of the day. You've heard them, but I just want to say it again. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, and they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So obvious here, God chose to repeat what happened that day. The day of Pentecost has been repeated over and over and over again. We've heard it over and over and over again that there were 3,000 people saved in one day. And I think God was saying, I want people to hear about it. I want people to know that's the kind of a thing that is available and possible. This proves that God told the number time and time again. God told the numbers of people being saved. Once they fed 5,000, another 4,000, there were thousands of people saved time and time again. Well, our goal was 1,000, and I thank God for what He did for us. Let me give you some of the results. And those of you, some of you that maybe a guest won't quite understand all of these people, we had eight teams of soul winners that went down to the city. Team number one was led by Brother Bajan. They had on their team 38 soul winners, and those 38 people won 166 people to Christ. Team number two was led by Brother Nash, and they had 30 soul winners on their team, and they won 170 people to Christ. Team number three was led by Brother Calling. They had 33 soul winners and won 532 people to Christ. Team number four was Brother Bush's team. They had 19 soul winners and had 72 people saved. Team number five was led by Brother Doss. They had 20 soul winners and had 150 people saved. Team number six was led by Brother Young. They had 18 soul winners and had 160 people saved. Team number seven was led by Brother Joshua Owens. They had 71 soul winners. These are our teenagers. They won 327 people to Jesus Christ. Team number eight, this was made up a lot of our senior citizens who I thank God that the gray hairs around here just keep on serving God. They had 37 soul winners, had 55 people saved. Total of 1,632 people. Now, I want to brag a little bit on the people that put extra effort, and I think a lot of people did. But these are some of the top soul winners that we had that day. On team one, Brother Bajan's team, the top male soul winner was Francisco Salinas. He had 9 people saved. The top female soul winner on their team was Mrs. Sandy Donnelly. She had 27 people saved that day. Team number 2, that's Brother Nash's team, the top male soul winner was Brother Joshua Hamm. He had 8 people saved. The top female soul winner was Crystal McClain. She had 16 people saved that day. Team number 3 is Brother Cowling's team. The top male soul winner was Nathan Owens. He had 104 souls saved. And the overall top soul winner came from that team as well. And I'll get that name in a minute. But the top female soul winner from Team 3 was Carrie Owens with 31 saved. Nathan and Carrie are husband and wife. And between them, 134 people they won to Christ. Team number 4, Brother Bush's team. The top male soul winner was Victor Agby. And then the top, and Victor had 9 people saved. And then the top female soul winner was Mrs. Lopez with 13 people saved. Team 5, Brother Dawson's team. The top male soul winner was Brother Don Hollinger with 10 souls saved. The top female soul winner was Joan Kane with 17 people saved. Team 6, Brother Young's team. The top male soul winner was Jonathan Jager with 22 saved, and the top female soul winner was Tammy Baxter with 27 saved. Then Brother Joshua Owens, their team, Team 7, the top male soul winner was Brother Dwayne Phillips with 20 people saved, and the top female soul winner, Charlotta Ellswick, with 25 people saved. And then finally, Team 8, Brother Tennis's team, the top male soul winner was Brother Tennis with 17 saved, and the top female soul winner was Holly Stanley with 4 saved. The overall top soul winner of the day, who was also a part of Team 3, was Jeff Owens II with 113 people saved in the day. We had a total of 266 soul winners that went out soul winning that day. And what we did, we were able to find, I think, 3 different churches where we could turn the names of some of the converts over to churches of like faith so some of these people could get followed up on. Over 10,000 gospel tracts distributed. I checked on our teenage buses. We had a lot of workers on there, and some of those came out as the top soul winners. But I checked this on as far as an actual teenager that went with the teenagers on this day. We had a tie between 2 young men for the top teenage male soul winner. It was a tie between Dustin MacArthur and Peter Reinberg, and they both had 14 saved. And then Michelle Seamster had 17 saved, which made her the top teenage girl soul winner. And so thank God for those kind of people. You know something, you have somebody that scores 40 points in a ball game and everybody goes around talking about it all day long, have somebody hit a home run out here on the baseball field with the bases loaded, everybody stands up and gives a standing ovation, giving a high five. Let me tell you something, I high five all the soul winners. Baseball games never kept anybody out of hell. Soul winning has. Putting a ball through a hoop, and I'm glad for you to do it. I think you need to learn character and drive and fellowship and leadership, and I think those things are important as far as learning from sports. It's not more important than being a soul winner. Not more important than keeping somebody out of hell. And so, what we see here, first of all, we praise God for our miracle. Secondly, I've given you the results. And the third thing I want to do is I want to thank the Lord for some of the people who helped serve and make this day possible. I could not, everybody, you all right? Okay. All right. I could not mention everybody because there were so many, but there's some that I want to give a little extra attention to, obviously. I want to thank the team leaders. A lot of organization. Anybody that was a part of the day, you did not see chaos. It was a well-organized day. It was put together well. We felt safe. We felt well-instructed, and it was organized. So thank you to the leaders for showing good leadership. Thank you to the bus mechanics. Thank God for those bus mechanics, and thank you for your hard work in keeping those buses up to date. The crew of people that cleaned our buses so when we went to the city, we've got beautiful buses anyway. Those red, white, and blue stars and striped buses traveling all over the city. I'm sure they got some attention, but we went the extra mile. We cleaned them up. Then, to those that helped get the sack lunches and the pizza crew and set up the gym, thank you for that extra work. To the bus drivers, where would have we been without those bus drivers? Bus drivers, just think of it. You had a part in getting a whole truckload of soul winners to the city so somebody could get saved, and I thank you for that. Then I want to take a little extra time. We had 2 groups of people. We had our nursery workers. And some of them, I'll be honest, they didn't really want to stay here. They wanted to go to the city and go soul winning, but We had to have somebody watch the little ones. We had to free up moms and dads for soul winning. The Dunamis Club, and that's our that's for our older children. The club for them while mom and dad are out soul winning. I want to thank God for those people. The Dunamis Club. Here are the workers for that day: Art Greenlee, Amy Greenlee, Rachel Maynard, Patrick Maynard, Jimmy Lindsay, Robin Lindsay, Paul Fisher, Carol Jean Montgomery, Lori Fleming, Chom Jerkovich, and Katie Shiflett. And I want to thank God for those people. I'll tell you, they took on a big day all day long with the children. Took them out to eat, took them down to the zoo or whatever that thing is, and we still have a couple of our kids down there making money, acting like monkeys. But thank God, folks, we all realize that we couldn't have accomplished what we accomplished had somebody not manned the ship and taken care of the little ones, and the kids were safe, they had a good time. It wasn't a treacherous, rotten day for the kids. Boy, they went out to Sonic to eat and went to the zoo and played games and had a good time. So thank God for the Dunamis Club. Brother Greenlee and your leadership, thank you, sir. Thank you. I wasn't worried a bit. I knew Brother Greenlee had it organized, and thank God for it. And then, to all the nursery workers, I've got the names of every lady that worked in the nursery that day, and I want to thank you. Thank you to Carmen Davis and Christian Jerkovitz and Kay Eckert and Ashley Hartman. Thank you to Susan Stoltz and Missy Chris and Angie Christman and Sandy Domley. Thank you to Kathy Conaway and Julene Shank and Irene Cooper and Jeanette Klaus. Thank you, Marge Hart and Dolores Duke and Johanna Davis and Laura Doss, Tanya Rodriguez. You know, these are folks that were stuck in a nursery all day while we were out winning souls. And I want to thank you for that. I know it's not easy. I don't think it was necessarily fun, but I thank you for it. Thank you to Robin Mowry and Ellen Moore and Marianne Trumpauer and Janine Caldwell and Ada Korbeiser and Becky Leonard and Rita Kistler and Teresa Nash. And if I missed anybody in those two categories, I apologize. Yeah, I did not mean to. I went to your leaders to gather those names. But thank you. Thank you for making the day possible. Folks, when you do something great for God, it's a team effort. It's a group of God's people that get unified and say, we want to do something for God, and thank God for it. Now, those that had three or more saved in the day, on October 3, that's a Saturday, we're going to put a sign-up sheet out. Mrs. Owens and I have promised that we would have our picture taken with you. The staff men really felt like that would be a thing to do. If you had three or more saved, we're going to have a beautiful patriotic background, and you'll step in, and we'll schedule you, and we'll get our picture taken with you. Don't forget, those of you going to Bible college here in a few weeks, we're going to get our picture made with you tonight. I want to give you a special thanks. There are people here that really prayed about this. You really prayed. Well, I hope you see God answered your prayers. There are people here that fasted about this. I had somebody come into my office, and they said to me, "Preacher, I'm fasting for the first time in my life, and I want to do this right." Well, thank you. Thank you. There's a group of people here. There are people that gave some special money to make this day possible. I want you to know that your money went toward souls being saved and lives being changed. I want to thank God for the custodial crew. Brother Cowling and Brother Lopez and the group of people that after we messed up the buildings and messed up all the restrooms while everybody else was on their way home on Saturday night, somebody was here all alone getting ready for church the next Sunday morning. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, all you bus captains and bus workers, as you know, if we do something big on Saturday, we never close down church on Sunday. Sunday morning, those buses were running. Captains were up 2 and 3 hours before the rest of us, going out and bringing boys and girls to church. I want to thank you for it. Thank you. I want to say this. We have a deaf man here in our church, and he's a fine gentleman of a man. His name is Brother Lobo. Brother Lobo, when he went soul winning on July 25, we were soul winning with all hearing people. There were no deaf people. Brother Lobo took with him a pen and a piece of paper, and to witness to people, he wrote out every verse in the whole gospel plan. Brother Davis, our deaf director, told me he's seen Brother Lobo write out the entire gospel more than 10 times. I'm amazed. The deaf going to the hearing as a missionary. Brother Lobo, Brother Davis, have Brother Lobo stand up there for a second. This is the man right here. Let's give him a hand. Yeah, wave at him. He can't hear your clap. Amen. Amen. I'm just amazed. There are people that won their very first person to Jesus Christ on that Saturday. It was an amazing day. Now let me say this to you. Number four, stay amazed. Stay amazed. Acts 2, verse 7, it says, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? They were amazed at what was happening on the day of Pentecost. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 12, and they were all amazed. Again, you know, wow, what a day. Can I tell you how God will give us other days like this? If you'll just stay amazed. Do you remember when you first got saved, how amazing it was, the thought that God's Son died for you? If you can stay amazed. Stay amazed. You young preacher boys, stay amazed. I'm still amazed. I'm amazed to stand in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Stay amazed, choir. You'll sing your heart out if you'll stay amazed. Stay amazed, bus captain. You'll keep bringing them in if you'll just stay amazed. Stay amazed, Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Boy, every week when I see them start coming down the aisles and I watch the Holy Ghost of God take over in this auditorium, I say, here he goes again. I'm amazed every Sunday. I don't want it to become old hat. I don't want to look at it and say, oh, ho, hum, humdrum. We see that all the time. Oh, no. You know, there were only 3,000 people saved on the day of Pentecost. God allowed us to have 1,632 saved. That's more than half. Could we see 3,000 the next time? Could we? Don't let it get old to you, Christian. Stay excited. Do you know the following Sunday morning we had 21 more people walk the aisle receiving Jesus Christ? That's incredible. I would have thought that we were all just so plumb tuckered out when the invitation came. We'd have two kids come down here and pray and we'd go home. But the altars were flooded. 21 more people coming to Jesus Christ. We had 19 walk the aisle again this morning. Thank God for it. Hey, Christian, have you seen it all? Is it becoming ho-hum to you? Stay amazed, Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I don't think we've even really started. This is the first time in 7 years I've been your pastor where I said, let's just go over the top here. Wait till you hear the next plan. Let's wait till I get my 2 weeks vacation in, okay? I believe this. I believe that after the day of Pentecost, there were people that walked around and talked about it. The Bible says, again, in Acts 2:47, it says they were praising God. And the Bible, and that means that they were going around, they weren't just shouting praise God, they were talking about it. I've asked just a few people to help give a testimony tonight. Now, folks, when I call your name, I want you to, I'm going to have some come right up. Others, we've got three or four seats over here toward the, right here to my left. If you're way in the back or in the balcony, you know who you are. I'm going to ask you to get right up here near the front. These people, I'm going to have them give a brief testimony. Brother Bajan, Carrie Owens, Randy Summers, Joe Calling, Cassie Ellswick, and Jeff Owens II. Now, if you're already near the front, you're fine. But I'm going to give you about 2 minutes, please, and kind of keep it to that. But I want you to come, and I want you to just give us a brief testimony about the night. The first will be Brother Bajan, then I'll come back and I'll introduce the next. Brother Bajan, come talk to us.
Boy, that was an amazing day. It thrilled my heart just to be the leader of one of the groups. All the work that went into it, all the planning, but boy, it sure was worth it. We had 166 people saved. And to see the people on our bus coming home. And now let me tell you a little bit about the area. We were close to the White House, the Capitol, the Mall, and all the monuments. So there was wall-to-wall people. A lot of times you had to run them down to talk to them. I get to witness the three young men from the Netherlands when I first got off the bus. It took me to 1:30 to get the bus parked. Stinking parking down there. But anyway, they did not get saved, but I warned them, and I believe it was the first time that they ever heard the gospel. And that just thrilled my heart. My wife, she played it cool. She went over to the monument, a Korean monument. She stayed in the shade, but she got to win three couples to the Lord. She told me that when she won that first couple to the Lord, big, tall, handsome young man, his wife, tears came running down his eyes after he prayed and thanked her for witnessing to them about the Lord. But then coming home, I saw people, we had new converts on our bus that come to our Sunday school class, on our group, that got to pass out tracts and witness to people. And then coming home, Jamie Roseman said, I got two. Said, I got two, Brother Bajent. And then my bus driver said, I got one. And then a lady on our bus had 17 saved. But just to see those people all excited about soul winning, and it just did something to me about my personal soul winning, and hey, I got three this week, amen? And I'm excited about getting people saved. I had one in the water this morning, preacher. I want you to know that, amen? But I was praising God for his, you folks that prayed. One of the real blessings was, I'm running out of time, Mrs. Johnson called me on the way out of Washington. You ever try to get out of Washington at 4:30 in the afternoon? It was a madhouse. She said, Brother Bajent, I want you to know something. I've been praying for you all day. And you're in the soul winners down there. And we could tell it. And then one more thing here, how God protected us. No bus problems except for one. I heard about it. They had to unload the teenagers onto another bus. The bus started vibrating. And they drove it back just with the driver on it. And preacher, I didn't tell you this, the tread was coming off the back tire. And God protected us and kept us safe. So I want to praise God for the protection. Amen.
As far as I can tell, the top lady soul winner for the day was Mrs. Carrie Owens. And I'm going to ask Carrie to come and give us a testimony at this time.
I would like to thank Jesus for saving me, first of all, and commanding me to tell others how to go to heaven, because it's good for me. And I want to thank my husband for encouraging me, because he really taught me everything I know. He was a great encouragement that day. But I'm glad Preacher had a school with our adult Sunday school classes. My husband and I were in a unique case. We got to go with our auxiliary Sunday school class and the one in which he teaches now. So there was just a spirit of unity there that didn't match anything else. These are the people we were growing with that encouraged each other, we prayed for, and that we had already been soul winning with. So I think that really helped us be successful in the day. On the way down, I was excited. I prayed about this. I had preconceived ideas about what I'd see. I thought, you know, we're going to the projects. There'll be people playing basketball, you know, boom boxes. I don't know what I was thinking, but we got off that bus. It was like a ghost town. I was kind of discouraged. You know, half an hour went by. We didn't get to talk to anyone. And I thought, Lord, please. And we knocked on that third or fourth door, and finally two little girls came out, you know, and they came out on the porch, and they listened to the plan of salvation, and they bowed their heads, and they got saved. And I thought, how foolish of myself to be as disappointed, you know. These are the only two that got saved. That would have been great. You know, I thought, I wish I could take them with me out of this place. But God did better than that. He gave them the Holy Spirit to comfort them. And that's more than I could do or anyone else. So, and then God was faithful. He kept on bringing people. A family of eight got saved next. And, you know, he just kept on bringing them. It wasn't up to me to see them saved. It was totally up to God. And I praise him for that. You know, I praise God for his faithfulness on July 25th. I'm excited to see what he will do in the future with Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church as we stay willing to serve him.
Next, I'm going to ask Brother Randy Summers to come and give us a testimony.
I'd just like to thank the Lord for this opportunity that I had to go soul winning that day. What a thrill it was for me. I'd like to thank my preacher for all the work that he did to put this thing together. You don't realize the work and the planning and the organization it took to pull this thing off. And I don't think a whole lot of people could have done that. And I just want to thank the Lord for my preacher. Love you, preacher. All right. So anyway, I want to thank the Lord for helping me, giving me a part in this great day we had in this church. I just love the Lord, and I was just happy to just be counted as a part of what went on the 25th. We got down in D.C., our church bus was going down the street, and there were people on the sides of the street. I mean, we were like on a side street, Brother Bush? And there were people waving to us and applauding to us, and it was awesome. I expected, you know, gangs and all kinds of crazy, weird stuff. But anyway, they were waving at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist church bus. Now, I don't know if they were happy to see a church bus or if they were just glad somebody wasn't shooting at them. I don't know. But anyway, we get off the bus, and out of the little, you know, when you haven't seen a white person since Frederick, you're a little bit nervous. So off the bus and knocked on the first door, and lo and behold, the first lady I talked to, she said, yes, indeed, I'm saved. I know Jesus as my Savior. I know for sure I'm going to heaven. And it's like she was witnessing to me, and that kind of comforted me, so we went down a few doors, and a lot of people in that area are saved. They're Christians. They love the Lord, and the Lord... people in the cities, you know, they know the Lord as well as us people up here in the country. Anyway, I went on down the street, and I come up on these six guys. They were up on, like, a little stair, and they had big, long dreadlocks or whatever, and rough-looking dudes. And me being a crutchy boy, I run up to them, the first thing I said was, howdy. And so I thought, man, I shouldn't have said that. So this big dude, I mean, he had scars and dreadlocks, and he said, sup. I said, I'll tell you what's up. I said, we're from the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. And once I said that, you could see a calmness come over these guys, and they're not really as bad and mean. You know, they're bigger around their friends, but when you tell them about Jesus, there's a comfort that comes over them, and it gave me confidence. And I got my gospel track, and I got out of there. And so, anyway, I just want to thank the Lord for this experience. There was a lot I could tell, but I've only got just another minute or so. But anyway, we got back to the church, and we had a celebration over here. But I can't imagine the celebration that was in heaven, because the Bible tells us that there's heaven. There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that comes to repent, but we had 1,632, and I can imagine it was quite a party in heaven that day. Thank you.
The team that Joe Cowling led had over 500 people saved, and I'm going to ask Brother Cowling to come and give us a quick testimony.
Amen. All right. Well, once again, reiterate what some of the others have said. Just to be a part of it was just fantastic. I mean, it was just surreal, honestly. It was just, I don't know what this means, but it was an out-of-body experience. Amen. It was just, but as Ms. Carrie had said, it was the unity on our bus. It was just fantastic. Of course, we had the half couples class and the college prayer class and just the spirit. And we went on out there. It was the weirdest thing, though. It seemed like the devil's fighting us right away. And we were out there, and there was an accident right where Frederick was, and we had to wait a little bit for that. And there was another accident on 270 as we were going down to D.C. And I just thought, man, on a Saturday to have car accident, it just seemed kind of odd. And I knew it was going to put us behind a little bit. That second accident, but Tim Shank was my driver, and there was some guy in a pair of shorts and a T-shirt directing traffic. We didn't realize he was a police officer, and we kept on going. Oh my goodness. Boy, that guy came up to our bus, didn't he, Brother Tim? I mean, he had a few choice Bobby Knight type words that he expressed to us that I'm not going to repeat here. My goodness. And, automatically I could tell the devil was trying to get our spirit down. And I just looked at everybody and I said, thank God you don't have to go home with him. Amen? And we just kept on going down to D.C. and we got down to our area. We were just east of the Capitol, and we were starting to drop folks off, and I realized I had to rework kind of our drop-off there because it wasn't quite as I seemed, and I had to really quickly rework things. Turns out that put us really behind, and I was dropping people off a lot later than I wanted to, and I was getting a little bit discouraged on that, and we finally got everybody dropped off, and then our group, the last group we went soul winning, and I won a young man to Christ, and then I'm going on, and like Miss Carrie said, you know, you're sticking all these people, you know, just flocked everywhere, and there was nobody out. And Richard called me, it was about 1:15, 1:30, and how's it going, you know? And he told me the number he had saved, and I didn't tell them how many I had saved. I only had one. And boy, I began, Lord, you got to do something. You've got to do something. And so we went out and to another area, and we saw some more people saved. And so then we began to pick people up, and everybody kind of had that feeling like, boy, I just figured a lot more people would be out, and they were almost kind of discouraged when we were picking them up. And I began to kind of feel a little bit bad, thinking, boy, I should have organized better. I should have done this differently. I should have done this differently. And, you know, I just felt so bad. And we began to pick up groups. And my wife, I said, how many we got so far? And she told me the number, and I about fell on the floor. And people just kept on coming on the bus, and we were tallying and tallying. Then I began to get excited. And the last group got on the bus, I looked at her, I said, how many do we have? She said, 416 people. And I thought to myself, how could that be? I mean, how in the world could that be? Because honestly, I you know, and basically what I learned was what I could not do, and what people on that bus could not do, God did. Amen. And there's no other explanation for it. God did that. And then, of course, we had some guys that were competing for that top prize. We got back here at the church, and they went back out soul winning. And they went soul winning in local areas here in Hagerstown and Charlestown. And the final total there was 532. So all praise to Him. Amen.
Then one of the young ladies that went soul winning with our teen group with Cassie Elswick. And I'm going to ask Cassie to come and give a testimony for us.
Well, I had the privilege on July 25th to go out to my youth department. And I realized it was my last opportunity to go out to my youth department before I went to college. And it took us a while to get started. I think it starts about 1:30, kind of take a bathroom break, stuff like that. But we finally got started, and I was a group led by Miss Ariel. And I personally led four people to Christ, two older ladies and two young girls. And the group I was with saw 18 people saved. Even though the youth department didn't meet our goal of seeing 800 people saved, we didn't fail. We were blessed with over 300 people we were able to lead to Christ. It was a truly awesome day, one I am never going to forget. I can promise you that. But to all those who weren't able to attend, please, next time we do this, please go out. It is an experience every Christian needs to experience.
I'm going to have one more testimony. The top soul winner of that day was Jeff Owens II, had 113 people saved. Son, you come and talk to us.
Well, my story kind of started on Friday morning instead of on Saturday. I got up and went to work at the same time as always had. However, during the middle of that day, I found out that I was going to have to work on Saturday. I had been very excited about this soul winning adventure that was going to occur on the 25th, and my work schedule all of a sudden took a 180, and I was going to have to work during the times that originally had been slated for our soul winning activity. We had a big project come up on Friday. I didn't actually get home, get to bed till about 11:45, and my phone started beeping, telling me that midnight, it's the 25th, it's time for the soul winning outing. And I thought, you know, if I don't go out right now, if I don't start right now, I'm afraid I won't have any time throughout the day to go soul winning. So I got buck up out of bed, put a suit on, and I went out at midnight and started my soul winning. And I didn't actually get to leave the house about 12:20, 12:30, but I started then and started the soul winning. I had to go to work at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I had set a goal previously for that day that I had wanted to see 200 people saved, but with the having to work from about 7 in the morning to 7 in the evening, I decided I was going to cut that in half. And I did. I cut it in half. And between about 12:30 and about 7 o'clock in the morning, I had been able to see 67 people saved through various rest stops, going all over the place. And I tell you, the people that are out at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, they're not the kind of people that you want to spend a whole lot of time with. But anyway, I ended up having to work from between about 7 o'clock that morning all the way until about 6:30, between 6:30 that evening, and I wasn't able to go on my bus when I was going to go on Brother Cowan's bus. I wasn't able to do that. And towards the end of the evening, I said, I still really want to hit my goal. I had cut it in half down to 100 persons saved, and I decided I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go back out. And I went back out and traveled to my location. And the first place I went to, within a matter of a few minutes, I had some people come and ask me to leave. And I had to leave that area. And I went to another area that I had already planned on going to. And within a few minutes of being there again, I was asked to leave again. And honestly, that was a little frustrating to me. And as I was driving down the road, some pretty lights started blinking behind me, kind of mesmerizing. You kind of want to pull over and see what they're flashing for. And an officer came up to me and knocked on my window, and he was going to give me a ticket. It was a misunderstanding of some type, and I ended up not getting a ticket. But I had already been up since about 6 o'clock on Friday morning. I was dead tired. I was frustrated. I had already been kicked out of a couple places, and I called my wife, I'm just coming home. It's late. At that time, it's about 9:15. I said, I'm just going to come home. I'm tired. I'm wore out. I've done my best. And Savannah said, Jeff, are you coming home because you're frustrated, or are you coming home because it's time to come home, because that's what you're supposed to do? And I said, I had planned on staying out, and the only reason I'm coming home is because I'm frustrated, so I better stay back out here. And the next stop I went to, it was already dark out. I didn't expect anyone to be out. It was a project, and I pulled my car into the parking lot and parked, and there were some teenagers walking towards me. And I called them over there, and there's four or five teenagers, and as I started witnessing to them, a few kids that were relatives or neighbors of theirs came over, and I actually had to start the Plan of Salvation over about four times, I think. And by the time it was all over, there was a group of 17 teenagers and kids standing there under that street light, and 17 of them got saved. And that last stop, 23 people got saved, and I was able to meet my goal. So I do want to thank my wife for putting that spur that, to keep going, even though I got discouraged.
My wife and I were out soul winning, and I was just delighted. And she had some surgery on her foot not long ago. I was just watching her hobble along everywhere she went. She seemed 10 people saved. She and I together had 36 people saved. When we were on our way back from Washington, D.C., I called all the kids. Of course, you know what it's like to be a daddy. Called everyone, and almost right at 200 people trusting Christ as a result of our children and mom and dad soul winning that day. A new family in our church, the Fishers, went soul winning. They got saved 1 week prior on Sunday, went soul winning 6 days later on Saturday, and won their first person to Jesus Christ. My dear friend, Dr. Russell Anderson, we had told him and asked him to pray for the day. And he told me, he said, you call me no matter how late. You call me and let me know what God does. And that's what he said. I called him, told him how many people have been saved. And he said, you tell your people. They may have caused God to spare our capital. Right. He said, somebody needs to do that at Washington, D.C. And he said, you thank them on behalf of a lot of people across this country. Well, let me say this, and I'm finished. What next? What next? Well, I'd like to teach other people to do the same. And there's a lot of folks out there that need to be born again. I heard a lot of wonderful comments. A lot of people say, let's do it again. Someone said, let's go to Baltimore the next time. I really would like to go to Hawaii and do it. But I'll tell you this, folks. Some of you learned that you can win people to Christ. We don't have to go to Washington, D.C. to do it. We can do it right here locally. I would like to have a big day here on our property. I really believe that we could have 2,000 people in Sunday school in days to come. I hope God will allow us to do that. Remember this. Let somebody know. Testify. Tell your children. Tell your grandchildren. I'd probably write something about this in your Bible. In generations to come, your children will pull it out and say, my parents were a part of a church just like that. Now, I want you to do this. I want you to realize the devil will fight. The devil's not pleased with a church that would care this much about the souls of men. After the day of Pentecost, Stephen, a deacon, was stoned to death. After the day of Pentecost, Peter was put in jail. Now, the devil doesn't like it when churches do what Jesus came to do. They crucified him. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. But let's not let opposition scare us. We're on the winning side. We are on the winning side. Do this. Stay right with God, so when we do it again, someday you'll be used of God. We're going to have an altar call in just a moment, but I would like to encourage us to do something special. Prior to going, we got on our knees and we asked God to bless us and keep us safe. To everyone that will respond in the altar call, I wish you'd come and get on your knees and just take a moment in private and thank God for using a group of people, just common, everyday people, average people, but we have an above average God and an above average book, and thank God for it. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, those men that work the altar, as usual, I want you to work the altar. But my primary concern tonight is that we might take a moment and thank our God for using us. You know, if God never used us again, He sure has been good to us to date. We should thank God for it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.